morning, church. I welcome everyone this morning, Christian Worship Center, and I'm so glad you're here. And I pray that you're blessed this morning. God is good. And finally, there's no snow on Sunday. Hallelujah. That's something to celebrate. Those of you who are listening who are not in Chicago will never understand what it is, but we appreciate sun and warmth. This morning, we're continuing a series, and the title of my message this morning called Empowered Life. Empowered Life, as you know, been in a series since April 7th, and next Sunday we have a special treat. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, so we have special treat for all the moms. We're going to take a break from this series. We're going to finish them off the Sunday after Mother's Day. But topic this morning is Empowered Life, and I don't know about you, I have to ask you a question. Have you ever run out of gas when you're driving? Anybody run out of gas? I had a friend, or still have a friend, we're still friends, although he has a habit of filling up his car for like only $10. And he's always running on empty, you know. And maybe you have friends like that, maybe you are a friend like that. But he was driving this huge SUV, and you know, sometimes they had some of them have this thing that tells you how many miles you have left in your gas tank. But his thing went like, you have 40 miles left, you have 25 miles left, like a zero and it's dead. Like in the span of 30 seconds. So you can never really figure out when it's going to die on you. And I'm like, man, you need to fill this up. You can't just keep doing it. So we were once driving this pastor's conference. It was the middle of winter. And we are just talking about this fun time with hearing out of gas, just the last time we drove together. And lo and behold, he forgets to check his gauge, and we are out of gas. And it's the middle of the night somewhere in Kansas, and it's cold. And we see an exit kind of like far away out there. We see a gas station, but, you know, he didn't have AAA, I didn't have AAA. And we end up pushing this thing a mile down the road, just down the highway, pushing it and all the way up the thing. And it's a heavy, heavy SUV because here not a gas. Now, we might all run out of gas once in a while when we drive, but it's another thing when we run out of gas, so to speak, in our life, when you're not of energy and you're not of power and are now something that drives you, something that fuels you, and you run out of it. And people, it happens to all of us all the time. And when people are out of, sometimes people need a vacation, they need a rest, right? They need just to go and recharge. Many times, I mean, I would say every time we come to church, we get refilled, amen? That's why we come to church. It is a place to be refilled, to be recharged. But I want to talk to you about something this morning, about an experience that is described in the Bible that's available for you and for me, that's guaranteed to keep you fueled for life. I don't know about you, if somebody could invent a car that you didn't have to refill, I bet we all would buy it. There would be a long line to buy that car if you never need to refuel that. And the same way in our spiritual walk with God, there is a power available to you and to me that, yes, we need to come and recharge. We need to come and reconnect. But there is a basic power that's available to you and to me that is able to take you through difficult circumstances, through lows and highs of life, and keep you running, keep you going through life without giving up. So this is what we're talking about. The title of my message is Empowered Life. And the main story that I have for you out of the Scripture is found in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, if you study the Bible, Acts chapter 2 is a story of a day of Pentecost. Some people call it's a birthday of the church. It's when the church was birthed. And it's a powerful experience. And depending on your church background, where you came from, you might have never really studied it, or you might have thought that was kind of weird and it's kind of like happened a long time ago, or you might have experienced it, you might have lived through it. And for some of you, this message might come a little bit weird. You might say, Pastor's talking about some weird things. I don't know about that. All I ask you this morning is to open your Bible with me and look into the Scripture. Because we're going to talk about supernatural things. And you know, when we talk about supernatural things, sometimes supernatural things, get a little bit weird because they are supernatural. Amen? I mean, if they would be not something out of ordinary, they wouldn't be supernatural. But because they are supernatural, sometimes they begin to conflict with our thinking and our logic, and we get confused and people get weirded out. But I want us to look into the Scripture. You see, the definition for me, what's biblical, it's not what most people think it is. It's what the Bible says it is. Amen? So I want us to look into the Scripture together and discover the source of power that can fuel you for life, that will drive you through difficult circumstances, that when you need power the most, it will be available right there to tap into and go through life victoriously, triumphantly. Amen? So, Day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Now, before we're going to get there, I have another scripture for you. It's actually found in Acts chapter 1. And it's a story. I'm just going to retell it. I have a lot of scriptures today, and we kind of running out of time. So I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to retell some of them. So we celebrated resurrection just a few weeks ago, and Jesus was raised from the dead, and He stayed on the earth for 40 days. And Bible says that He told disciples a couple things. In Acts chapter 2, it says Jesus told them specifically, I do not want you to leave Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1 talk about it. But I want you to wait until you are clothed in a power from on high. And it says, and Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, for you will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the end of the world. So Acts chapter 2 is really the sequel to what Jesus is saying. And so what happened? 40 days after Jesus raised from the dead, He ascended to heaven. And He told them, don't leave Jerusalem. I know I gave you this big task, this big commission, but don't go just yet. Wait, there's something about to happen that you need to experience. So that's what happened before Acts chapter 2. So let's pick up this story in Acts chapter 2. We're going to start reading verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together. It talks about disciples of Jesus and other believers who were with them. They were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues as of fire being distributed and resting on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, what does this thing mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Now I'm going to pick up story a little bit down in verse 12 to 21. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is third hour of day, third hour is 9 a.m., but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my manservants and maidservants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm going to pick up the story again in verse 37, just two more verses in the same chapter. This is the response of people after Apostle Peter preached to them. He says, when they heard this, they were stung in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are far away, as many as the Lord God will call. Jesus, we pray this morning as we study your word, as we look into your word, as we want to be transformed by your word, I pray, Father, that the power of the Holy Spirit will make this word alive in our hearts. Father, help us to receive it. I pray, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit will rest upon our church this morning, just as it rested on the day of Pentecost. Give us an open heart to hear what your Spirit has to say. Help us to understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Empowered life. So, pretty amazing story and a very amazing experience. And disciples honestly didn't know what to expect. Jesus talked to them about it for a long time. He talked to them while he was alive. In fact, John the Baptist talked to, when he was preaching, he said the following, "I baptize you in water, but there is one who comes who is greater after me, and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." So what happened on the day of Pentecost is what Bible calls this experience called baptism in the Holy Spirit. And again, depending on church background, you might have heard about it, you might have experienced it, or could be completely foreign for you. And that's okay. We're going to try to bring everybody on the same page this morning. So the reason it's so powerful, the reason this experience is so crucial and so essential, is because there is a number of things. And I want us to open the Bible, look together why it is not just powerful and amazing story in the Bible, why it's actually, it's a continuing experience till this day. It's something that you and I need. It's something that is fuel for life. And when you are filled in the Holy Spirit, you have a power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you that never runs out. Amen? That always goes through your life. They'll take you through anything. So I want us to look at the following scriptures, and I want to look at the following thoughts in the Bible. First thought I want to share with you is the following. Holy Spirit is our promise. Holy Spirit is a promise. Next thought I'm going to share with you is Holy Spirit is our power. And then lastly, I'm going to talk about Holy Spirit as a partnership, how we partner together with the Holy Spirit. But let's talk about Holy Spirit as a promise. You see, in the Old Testament, if you look at the Bible talks about certain men of God who are usually prophets or judges or kings. And from time to time, Bible says, Holy Spirit fell upon them. And when Holy Spirit fell upon them, they were able to do some supernatural things, some very crazy things they were able to accomplish because power of God came upon them at specific time for specific, very select individuals through the Old Testament. But God has spoken the Old Testament, and this is what Apostle Peter quotes when he's speaking this sermon in Acts chapter 2. He's actually quoting Prophet Joel. And Prophet Joel has prophesied. That was in the Old Testament. That was way before Christ came. He prophesied the following. It says, in the last day, God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. You see, what very few people experienced in the Old Testament, what very few people were called and were privileged to experience in the Old Testament, God has prophesied that in the last days, that the time will come, that there'll be a season in life that God's going to pour out His Spirit on people who seek Him, on His children, on everybody. And He's talking about servants and male and female. He's talking about erasing every type of, you know, hierarchy or if you are only a leader or not. It's going to be available to every single person. And Old Testament, and this is something, church, Acts chapter 2, it's something that prophets of the Old Testament only could dream about. They only could, their wildest dreams, they couldn't imagine that every single follower of God could be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that was only available to great men like Elijah and David and other people who are in Isaiah who were filled with the Holy Spirit for a certain task. God said in the last days, He'll make it available for every child of God. And church, Acts chapter 2, the reason it's so important because this is where a lot of people get it confused, because people say, well, listen, Pastor, I got saved and Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And that's true. Because Bible says, you know, when you are saved, when you surrender your life to Christ, when you repent, Jesus begins to dwell in your heart. And we believe in Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. It's a mystery. It's difficult to wrap your mind around it. But when you get saved, Holy Spirit lives inside of you. God the Father lives inside of you. Jesus lives inside of you. Okay? But here we're talking about a different and distinct experience following salvation experience. You see, all these apostles, we can assume very safely they were saved. Amen? They're followers of Jesus. They spent 3 years with Him. They did miracles. They saw people raised from the dead. They cast out demons. There are people who were saved. Okay? Jesus, Holy Spirit was already living inside of them. God was living on the inside of them. So it means that this is something else. This is something in addition to our salvation. This is a distinct and separate experience following salvation. And the Bible calls it baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we look back at how it happened in Acts chapter 2, it was a pretty crazy experience. Church began to pray, right? Church began to pray, and Bible says there all of a sudden there was a loud noise, like a rushing wind came over. And people began to pray, and they began to pray in a languages they didn't understand, in tongues. Okay? And this is where it gets weird. And listen, again, you might have come from church that people prayed in tongues, and you might have never heard it before, or you might have been around the people and say, I have no idea, this is kind of weird. And it is. Listen, it is. But we're going to talk about a little bit about the importance of tongues and how powerful that is. But let's look again, Acts chapter 2. So they began to speak in other tongues, and it was actually quite unique to them because they, when they prayed, they spoke, they actually spoke a language that was known to man. But when you see following experiences throughout the Acts, it's usually people just began to pray in tongues, which was a prayer language. It was not meant to be translated by somebody. It was meant to be as a prayer to God. And I'll tell you again in a little bit why it's so powerful, why it's so important. But first of all, so Holy Spirit is a promise. Old Testament prophets prophesied about it. Jesus promised it to people. Jesus, He said to the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem until you are immersed, until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now the word baptism means to be immersed. Okay? It's to be completely dunked under. It's to be completely under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So, Old Testament prophesies. Jesus tells disciples, wait for it. John the Baptist spoke about it. And then Holy Spirit falls on the church. Now, listen, something that's amazing happens is the following. Just a few weeks before that, remember we talked about last Sunday, Apostle Peter, when servant girl came up to him and says, you look like you've been with Jesus. He said, never seen the guy. Right? Never seen the guy. What happens? Acts chapter 2, Holy Spirit falls upon Peter. I want you to see the dramatic difference in the man. And when all of a sudden, when people in Jerusalem heard this powerful experience, when they heard this loud noise, they rushed to see what's going on, and they start saying, these people are weird. They look like they're drunk because they are saying some illegible things and people don't understand what they're talking about. Peter got up and he said, hey, man of Jerusalem, he began to speak a powerful message. And the Bible says thousands of people, if you finish Acts chapter 2, got saved because of that. That's the difference between living and trying to do things without the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you, and the difference of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, you can say, Pastor, I've heard some people say that this was only for them, that it stopped happening right now, it's only for the original Christians. And there's a group of people, we're not going to make fun of them, we're not going to judge them, but we're going to look in the Bible, what the Bible says. There's a group of people who believe, there's a lot of Christians who believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit was only for the original church. They believe it was for the purpose of writing the Scriptures. And once Scriptures were written, we don't need Holy Spirit anymore. Now, they base this only on one verse in the Bible, which, by the way, never base your entire doctrine on one verse in the Bible. They base it on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Apostle Paul talks about love, and he says, the time will come when things will be perfect, and then the tongues will cease, the prophecies will cease, because for now we see in part, but then we will see clearly. Now, he's actually talking about heaven. He's not talking about... We are not in a time when things are perfect. I don't know about you, but my life is not perfect. Okay? We're not in a place... So, of course, in heaven, you won't need tongues, you won't need prophecy, because in heaven, you will see Jesus. You'll have unhindered access to God, like just right there. You won't need that. But while we're here on earth, listen... Plus, if you notice, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit fell not just on the 11 apostles, it fell on all the Christians who were there. And if you read Acts, actually there's four other experiences that the book of Acts talk about when churches were filled with the Holy Spirit, when Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14. That's where Apostle Paul talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and how Holy Spirit operates in the church. So I encourage you, listen, if you come from a background that haven't practiced it, that you think it's kind of weird, open the Scripture and read it for yourself. Listen, don't take my word for it. Don't take somebody's words for it. Open the Bible and study it for yourself. It will change your life. Amen? So Holy Spirit is a promise. Now, second thought I want to share with you, Holy Spirit is a power. And this is why it's so important, because Jesus didn't say, hey, you know, there'll be just this nice goosebumps on you when you pray. No, He says you will receive power. You see, Holy Spirit is a spirit of power. And when the Holy Spirit comes, everything changes. Remember that vision we talked about on the Resurrection Sunday, when Ezekiel chapter 37, when he saw the valley of dry bones, and there was a prophecy about Israel, and it says bones were coming together. He was prophesying over them. They were coming together, and it says there was like a valley filled with dead people until Spirit of God breathed into them. You see, church, without Holy Spirit, without power of the Holy Spirit, our church is nothing but another social club. We basically just another club, another gathering of people who have something together. Without power of the Holy Spirit, we don't have a power to change or impact a single life. Holy Spirit is our power. Jesus said, you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. By the way, the word witnesses in Greek is a word called martyreo, which is we get the word martyr from. Which means that it'll be the power to live your Christian life even to the point of death. Okay? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit is a power. Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for it. Wait for it. And then, you know what's so powerful about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It becomes the framework for operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul talks about gifts of the Holy Spirit. Bible lists 14. Some people believe there's a lot more. The important part is not numbers. The important part is that gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural abilities given to Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit to bless the body of Christ. And the Bible talks about gifts of the Holy Spirit, things like gifts of prophecy. Now, prophecy is a supernatural ability to speak the Word of God into people's lives. Now, it's different than just like reading the Bible, because prophecy is something specific. It's something given for you, for your specific situation, a specific problem right now. Now, again, some of you might have seen prophecy in operation, some of you might have never seen it. But let me tell you, it's very powerful. My dad was a friend with one older saint. She died since then, but she was a dear saint. And she had a gift of prophecy. And I've met a lot of people who have a gift of prophecy. We have people in our church who operate in gift of prophecy. And but she had one of the most powerful prophetic gifting I've ever seen. Because she was just so anointed and so effective in it. And she was just a simple woman living with her husband in the village, keeping a couple of cows, chickens and pigs, and just trying to be a good Christian. And my dad introduced me to her and said, son, listen, sometimes when you're in a place where you don't know the answer, call her up. She'll pray with you. God's going to speak to you. And I remember once I had a situation. It was actually a situation we had to deal with in church, but it was very difficult. It was very difficult. It kept me awake at night, and I had no answer. No matter what I would come up with, it would be a lose-lose situation. And it was heart-wrenching. It was agonizing to agonize over it. And I remember looking through my contacts and picking her number and calling this lady. Her name was Maria. Yeah, I would call her Sister Maria. And I'll call her up, and she says, son, you know, I'm milking cows right now. Can you call me in 20 minutes? I'll finish that. I mean, she was just a simple lady. Simple lady, simple Christian in a small village church. So I wait till she milks her cows. I call her back. And I say, and I had three specific questions to the Lord. I had three specific needs that I needed the Lord to answer very clearly, because it was a very difficult situation. And I call her up and I say, Sister Maria, this is all I told her. I didn't tell her my problems. I actually didn't tell her anything. So, Sister Maria, I need a word from God. That's all I told her. I said, okay, let's pray. So she begins to pray. She begins to pray in tongues. She prays for a couple of minutes, tongues on the phone. And then she begins to speak it and says, this is what the Lord says. Number one,
number two, and number three. Just like that. Three such specific answers. Listen, I knew it was God. Because I wrote those questions down. She didn't know them. She didn't know it was three questions I had before God. But this is how anointed she was in prophetic gifting. And listen, and that's the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural. Because Holy Spirit is supernatural. Because God is supernatural. Amen? Now, you might have been there in church for a while. You might be visiting today. But our church, you know, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I like to think of our church as a charismatic church because we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they are still available today and they are still in operation today and we should pursue them and seek them so our church can be edified and people can be blessed. Amen? So, gifts of the Holy Spirit are powerful. The Bible talks about word of knowledge and word of wisdom. You know, I have a person I know who operates in the word of wisdom, and the word of wisdom is an advice in a difficult time that you need, that you can't figure out by yourself. And I know many times I called him and he would give me advice and it was something I could never possibly think of by myself. That's word of wisdom. Bible talks about gift of miracles. There's people who are anointed to bring supernatural miracles. Bible talks about the gift of healing. I don't know about you, but I'm praying that God releases gift of healing. Amen. When people can operate, now, you don't need the gift of healing to pray for healing, but there is people who are anointed by God, and they are gifted to pray for people who are sick, and speak health into them, and they are supernaturally healed. I shared you my testimony, my broken leg, how God has healed me. I've seen many people who are anointed and gifted with the gift of healing. And it's church, it's powerful. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to do church in my own power. I'm not that smart. I'm not that wise, and all the wisdom of man and research and all the other stuff that people come up with, it pales compared to the power of God, amen? It just fades compared to the awesomeness of God. You see, before these disciples were hiding, locked behind the doors because they were afraid of other people. When the Holy Spirit fell upon the church, thousands of people were saved instantly. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, church. And listen, my message this morning is to make you hungry. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, is to open your heart for it, and so you can study the Scriptures, and so you can begin to ask God for it. Because I don't want you to go through life without it. God doesn't want you to go through life without it, because power of the Holy Spirit is amazing. Power of the Holy Spirit will transform your life. It will change your life. It will fuel your life. And the fuel will never run out. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is like a living water coming out from the inside of you. It's like a rivers of living water. It's never ending. It's not a little cup. It's not a little pitcher. It's flowing. Spirit of God is flowing out of you. And it's exact match for any problem and any need that you have. Amen? Now, before you discount me out, you know, I don't know if you heard, but there is a lot of testimonies coming out from Muslim world, from countries that are restricted to the gospel, from China and North Korea. And it's people who actually were Muslim or they were maybe atheist in China, and they saw visions of Jesus. Literally, visions of Jesus coming and preaching to them. They saw angels and they get saved. They repent without ever hearing the gospel from the preacher. And you know what? People like that, we say, hey, praise God, right? Most people have no problem believing Muslims seeing visions of Jesus. Now, when somebody in church sees a vision of Jesus, we say, oh, brother, this is getting really hairy here, right? It's a bit weird. You see how we're quick to discount the supernatural? How we are quick to just kind of like, oh, let's keep this nice and neat and logical and explainable, and hey, God forbid we're going to weird somebody out. Now, let's talk about last thought because our time is running out. So Holy Spirit is our promise. Holy Spirit is our power. And Holy Spirit is a partner. He's our helper. We have a partnership with the Holy Spirit. And I want to unwrap that for you in the last couple of minutes we have together. You see, there is a power when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we talked about, the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit is this prayer language. Bible calls it tongues, gift of tongues. Now, there is a prophetic gift of tongues. Apostle Paul talks about it in Corinthians, I believe, chapter 12. And that's the gift of tongues. That's a prophetic gift that's supposed to be translated by other people. That was supposed to be, again, as a way of speaking the Word of God into into other people's lives, into the church. But there is a tongues as a gift, as a sign of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what happened, Acts chapter 2. And it's a sign if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. God gives you the supernatural ability to speak in tongues and to pray in tongues or to pray in the Spirit as the Bible talks about it. Now, why is it so important? John 14, chapter 26, Jesus saying, "But the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance everything I said to you." Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that in the same way, Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So let's talk about tongues for a moment, because that's the weird part. That's what freaks people out. And now, again, tongues is weird, and it's supposed to be like that. Now, Bible says a couple of scriptures about tongues. First, Apostle Paul says, whoever prays in tongues, he speaks mysteries. Okay? Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but in Greek, mysteries, you know what it means? It means mystery. And what is a mystery? It means something that you can't understand. Okay? So when God calls an experience a mystery, as a child of God, I'm going to accept that. I might not understand that. I might not even agree with it, but I'm going to accept it because it is in the written Word of God. Amen? And for me, the standard, when it's something is real, it's not if a lot of people believe it or accept it, it's whether it's written in the Bible or not. Okay? So, when a person prays in the Spirit, a person prays in tongues, you pray, it's a mysterious experience to most people around you. Now, but Bible says what actually happens is Holy Spirit, who dwells on the inside of you, He prays through you. And Holy Spirit being God, He knows exactly what God's will is for your life, and He prays for you, He prays on your behalf according to the will of God. Now, you know what's amazing about it? Because this is the most powerful prayer you and I can pray, is praying in the Spirit. Because, you know, I might think I need this, but God knows exactly what I need, amen? Listen, God knows exactly what you need. And when I pray in His Spirit, Holy Spirit begins to intercede on my behalf. He's the intercessor. He's my helper. Bible, it's a partnership we have. Jesus said, listen, there'll be a helper for you. And I don't know about you, but I need help. I need help in life. I need help to be a good husband. I need help to be a good dad. I need help to be a good person. Because without God, I'm not a very good person. And guess what? Without God, most of us are not very good people either. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit that's available for you and for me. And it's the way to receive it is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's to receive that. And as you pray, Holy Spirit prays in your behalf. And again, it's not something you meant to understand, but it's something Holy Spirit understands, something God understands. You know another thing that's really powerful about praying in tongues is that devil doesn't understand what you're praying. He has no idea what you're praying about. You see, when I'm praying in a known language, devil hears what I'm praying, and he's right there to discourage. I don't know about you, but have you ever prayed about something, and as soon as you prayed about it, the thought crossed your mind, that's never going to happen. Right? Oh, don't even worry asking God about it. It's not going to happen. Guess where the thought came from? It came from the devil. Because he wants to ruin your prayers. He hates when you pray. He knows when we pray, we have access to heaven. And he wants to discourage your prayers. He wants you not to believe what you're asking for. He wants you to have these generic, prayers that don't mean anything, don't ask for a lot, and kind of expect not much from God. But when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm speaking exactly what I need. And listen, the devil sits there, he's frustrated, he's mad, because he has no idea what I'm praying. But God knows what I'm praying about. Now, there's actually been a fascinating study. Now, this is not just all weird out there. There's a study in the University of Pennsylvania in 2006. If you want to look it up yourself, read it. It's fascinating. But it's one scientist who decided, and there have been a couple more studies since then, but there was one scientist who decided to find out what happens to people's brain when they pray in tongues. And so they connected a bunch of brain scanning equipment to these five women who were praying in tongues. And as they were praying in tongues, they were scanning their brain and see what happens. And they found some very fascinating things in there that actually confirms the biblical experience. You know what number one thing they found is? They found that the part of your brain that's responsible for language was dormant. That part of the brain that every time your vocal cords actually activated, it wasn't registering at all, although the person was speaking. And that was the first puzzling thing for the scientists, because they said, we never seen people speak without that part of the brain being lit up. But listen, this is very biblical. The Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, your mind is idle. Okay? It's not your mind praying, it's Holy Spirit praying through you. And they say, you know, this is what the word of the science says. They don't know what's responsible for those words that are coming out of a person's mouth, because they don't see in a part of their brain that's registering what's producing that. Now what's another thing they found out is that when people pray in tongues, their brain produces these chemicals that are usually only produced when we are in a deep sleep. It's a rest chemicals that renew and rejuvenate our brain. Now for me that's fascinating, because the Bible says we are to be transformed by what? By the renewal of our mind. Okay? And when I pray in the Spirit, when I pray in tongues, I might have no idea what I'm saying, but Holy Spirit is renewing literally my physical brain. It gets rest, it gets renewal. And that's, for me, it's powerful. And that's exciting. Now, is it weird? Sure, it's weird. But if God gives me as a gift, I'll accept that. Now, you might say, Pastor, I've been part of this church for a long time, but I haven't really heard people praying tongues on Sunday. Well, there's a reason for that. You know, Bible actually talks about how to exercise this gift. And Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, hey, when you come to church and when you pick up microphone, he didn't have a microphone back then, but says, hey, when you speak in public, when you pray in public, it's better to pray in a known language so people who sit there who knows what you're praying, they can say amen to that. Okay? So prayer, gift of tongues, is primarily a personal gift. It's meant for your personal edification. Now, when we have a prayer services on Monday, some of you come, some of you haven't been there, I encourage you to come. This is where we pray in tongues. This is where this is a place for that, to exercise that, because it's an intercessory prayer. The purpose of that meeting is prayer, is intercession, is opening up heaven and bringing the will of God down to earth, so word of God will happen on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So that's why you didn't see people praying in tongues on Sunday, but we very much believe in that. We very much practice that, and we very much encourage people to seek that. Now, I'm almost done. Let me answer another question. How do you receive that? How do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We say, Pastor, I would like to try it out. How do I receive that? Where do I start? Well, first, ask for it. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible. There's actually a lot of scriptures in the New Testament. John 7, verse 37, 39, Jesus speaking, he says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow the rivers of living water. But he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, the scripture again confirms it. Luke 11:13 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen? Those who ask him. He simply says, ask. And listen, if you, again, person who have a lot of theological objections, I encourage you, open up the Bible and go through it. Go through the book of Acts. Go through 1 Corinthians, and study it for yourself. Open, let Holy Spirit show you in the Scripture how powerful this is and how life-changing it is and how God will change your life when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And listen, if you're ready to receive it, come here Mondays. Come say, hey, Pastor, I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Come in. We'll pray for you. You people will come around you, pray for you, lay hands on you. And Spirit of God is going to fall on you, and you will live and walk in the power of God. Amen? Again, I hope if you have been skeptical came in today, I at least arose your curiosity and desire so you can open the Bible and study for yourself. I hopefully I explained some things, but more than that, I pray the Holy Spirit creates hunger in you for more of God. Because again, I don't know about you, I'm sick of running out of gas in life, okay? I'm tired of running out of gas. I'm tired of, I can't wait till Sunday. Oh man, this is only Tuesday and I'm already out of gas. I don't want to live like that. I want to live being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want to live going from day to day in power, in victory, in anointing. I want to see I don't know about you, but I want to see supernatural things of God. Amen. I want to see healings. I want to see miracles. I want to see God revealing prophetic, supernatural things in our church, in our lives. Because, hey, listen, it makes our life much easier. It makes our life much easier. It makes our mission much easier. Because when Holy Spirit falls on people, when people hear supernatural word of God in their life, they know God is among you. They know you didn't just make it up. They know God spoke through you. And that awakens people's lives. That makes them hungry for God. And listen, church, I need to apologize before you because I haven't preached a lot about it. And I was repenting before God that, hey, listen, I don't care how weird this is. I want Holy Spirit. And I don't care that it's not popular. I don't care that people weirded out about it. I want the Word of God. I want the truth of God. And I want Holy Spirit. And this year, later in the year, we're going to do an entire study in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's very difficult to do justice to this topic in one short message. But we're going to do a study in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do a study in our small groups. We're going to study on Sundays. We're going to go extensive way. And I pray that through that, Holy Spirit's going to be rising up people in this church, filling out His Spirit, pouring out His gifts, prophetic giftings, gifting that are supernatural, that God's going to be building His church that's supernatural. Amen? Church that's empowered and life that's empowered. Not just going in the latest advice and latest whatever it's out there. No, but being tapped in into the supernatural realm and being fueled and filled by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's be on our feet. Father, we thank You so much. We thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank You that You send us the promise of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't just to make us feel nice and feel some kind of goosebumps on our skin or feel supernatural. God, You said You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And Lord, our desire is to go through life in power. Not to go through life in always tired, always weary, always defeated. God, our desire to go through life in power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. God, and my desire, God, that our entire church, God, will be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray right now for every single individual, God, that You will pour out Your Spirit without measure. Just as You have promised, God, just as You have promised in the Old Testament, You have promised through Your Word, Jesus, You have spoken through disciples, that in the last days You shall pour out Your Spirit on all flesh, on young and old, on male and female, no matter of your social status, no matter if you're in ministry or not. God said there is a power of the Holy Spirit that's available to you. And I pray, God, that You make us all hungry for more. More of God. More of supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That our church will not be just moving by some latest research or latest wisdom of man. God, but will be fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Will be fueled by the supernatural. Then when we come here on Sundays, people are going to see miracles. Supernatural things happen. Authentic, real, not hyped up man's ideas, God, but supernatural things of God. Because they are available for us. They are available for me. They are available today. Oh God, I pray that hunger will arise. Spirit of God will arise, God. Help make us hungry for more. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, God. Our desire is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, listen, if this is still confusing to you, if you have questions, please come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Michael. I would love to sit down with you, open up the Bible together and walk you through it. I don't want nobody to leave this Sunday saying, Pastor, talk about something, but it's kind of weird. I have no idea what it is. I would love to sit down together and study the Word of God with you and look at the Scripture and see what it's all about. So please, don't be afraid. If you have any questions, come talk to us.
Be blessed. Refreshments, fellowship, hope. God bless you.